Own a restaurant in the GTA? I'm Louis Top Dog Pereira, and when I was managing my restaurant, there was only one company that took care of me like I was family, Flanagan's. Proudly Canadian-owned and built on a reputation of reliability and flexibility, they provide exceptional service to over 7,000 customers in Ontario. With more than 10,000 items for your food service operation, they deliver products and solutions that make your life easier. After over 45 years of serving Ontario operators, they understand your business and the daily challenges you face. Whether you'd like to refresh your menu or give it a complete overhaul, they have the insight, experience, and products to support you and help your business thrive. From their family to yours, tell them Top Dog sent you. Fish on.
Hi, everybody. I'm Angelo Viola.
And I'm Pete Bowman.
Now, you might know us as the hosts of Canada's favorite fishing show, but now we're hosting a podcast.
That's right. Every Thursday, Ange and I will be right here in your ears, bringing you a brand new episode of Outdoor Journal Radio.
Now, what are we going to talk about for 2 hours every week?
Well, you know there's going to be a lot of fishing.
I knew exactly where those fish were going to be and how to catch them, and they were easy to catch.
Yeah, but it's not just a fishing show. We're going to be talking to people from all facets of the outdoors, from athletes.
All the other guys would go golfing. Me and Garth and Turk and all the Russians would go fishing.
To scientists.
But now that we're reforesting and letting things free, it's the perfect transmission environment for Lyme disease.
To chefs.
If any game isn't cooked properly.
Marinated.
You will taste it.
And whoever else will pick up the phone.
Wherever you are, Outdoor Journal Radio seeks to answer the questions and tell the stories of all those who enjoy being outside.
Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome. Did I just scare
you? All righty. You did, man. You woke me up, man. It's like I had a cup of black coffee right away. Boom, there's smash.
I love the absolute love our new song when we bring you in, Siege. It's got to be probably the most, it's the song that pumps me up. WrestleMania's around the corner. Let's go. We got Showtime Johnson, Smash Malekka. This is the Eating Wild podcast, folks. Part of the Outdoor Journal Radio podcast team, and we have a wonderful, wonderful show. Jeez, Siege, we got an amazing, amazing guest lined up, and I'm pumped. I want to talk to you about it first. You know, we've been talking at, oh my God, I'm going to say for months, maybe even years, about our guest that we have lined up today, and we're pumped to bring this special guest on. If you want to break the news to everybody.
You can break the news, man. I'm just the guy. You break it, man.
Okay, well, we have Amanda Lynn Mayhew joining us today. She's standing by. She's in the lobby. We're not going to keep her there long because she's a busy, busy hunter woman. She does trade shows. She pops. She's got her TV show, 8th season, going on Sportsman Channel.
Fashion,
like Chuck Norris's name comes up at the same, like, it's crazy, brother. I can't
believe three kids at the same time. Oh, come on, man.
I gotta be honest. Well, before we get Amanda on, Siege, let's talk about the Eating Wild podcast team. Lou and Dan can't be here. Dan, happy birthday to your daughter.
Happy birthday,
Yaya. I hope you're having a beautiful one. Your pops is spending it with you and the family. And I gotta be honest, Lou, what's going on, man? Siege, is it the sniffles again? Is it the sniffles? Let's be honest. Let's talk about it for a second.
Let's just say this. I'm more surprised if I call Lou and he doesn't sound stuffed up.
Yeah.
That's all I know him now.
He sounded like shit this morning. I called him up. It was like his nose was plugged. He's like, hey, Smash, how's it going? I'm like, you okay, bud? What's going on? Amanda, buddy. We got her coming on tonight.
You know what I love about Lou, though? He wasn't feeling great. He sucked it up, and he knocked it out of the park at the Sportsman Show.
I was just going to say, man, we're post-Sportsman Show, and Lou, he was the first one at our booth in the morning, last one to leave. This guy was there taking apart the set after they called the wrap on the show. This guy's got the drill going, you know, where he's breaking. Anyways, toodles to Top Dog, because that guy was a machine for those 4 days, and he wasn't feeling well. He really wasn't.
No, he wasn't. He sucked it up. And let's get back to the show, man. What like, I only had the privilege of going for the Saturday because, as you know, it was March break, and I was away with the kids. But the Saturday when I went there, like, I mean, we used to go to the Sportsman Show all the time. And I'm going to be honest, you and I both admit this, it kind of died off.
It did. It did. All shows. You know, I mean, it was just all shows in general were shit.
But then we came back, and then we haven't been in a couple of years. What a wake-up call, man. The vibe there that's at that show now, and the vendors and all that stuff. What? Oh, man. Like I said, you were there from Thursday to Sunday. So, you know more than me, but...
Yeah, Thursday, it was just Lou and myself, and Dan was hoarding the fort down at the shop. And we had Jay Neglia come on and join us. Lou and I, we only had a two-hour segment that we were able to do, you know, a live podcast at our booth. And we had all the boys there. We had Ange, we had Pete, Ange's beautiful family selling merch, Steven and Zwicky, Frank from Ugly Pike. You know, Jerry Olette was cruising around. That guy's a celebrity at that show. Like, that guy,
he was giving me shots of chaga.
We're happy hour and this and that. And he's signing babies' foreheads. It was nuts. And I'll be honest, you know, the Thursday we were told is a day where it's kind of quiet, usually, you know, with history. It was popping. Me and Lou were up there. We had people coming up to us. Hey, Top Dog. Hey, Smash. And me and Lou are looking at each other like, what? Is this real? Is this happening right now? And that's crazy, it was awesome. And then we got to sit down at the, you know, and we had chairs set up in front of us for people to come and sit down and listen. And then Friday got even busier. And then Saturday, Siege, the day you showed up, how better, like, to start the morning off with Jay Siemens sitting down with Ange and Pete. You know, you're sitting there and you're like, I can't believe I'm watching, you know, Jay Siemens come in here and shoot the shit with our boys. And then
Jay Siemens, next thing you know, you see Doug Ford roll in. What's up, Dougie?
Dougie F shows up. You got the SWAT team with him.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, I'm standing next to a dude that had, you know, he's got the thing in his ear, and I don't know who's talking to him, but I looked at the guy. I'm like, you cool, man? Is everything all right? Can I get you a drink? And he's like, yeah, we're good, man. Dougie's coming down. And then, and the one thing I would say about Dougie, and I'm not a political guy, I don't really care for politics much, but he took the time, Siege. I mean, it took him 20 minutes to get to point A to point B because he was getting hounded by all the people taking pictures. He stopped and he talked and took a picture with every single person that walked up to the our whole setup, the Outdoor Journal Radio podcast team booth, which was 40 feet long. And he stopped, he took pictures, he finally sat down with Ange and Pete, and it was awesome to hear him talk about, you know, fishing and the outdoors and
the outdoors.
Everything that we talk about, you know, 250,000 freshwater lakes in Ontario alone. And, you know, this is what we get to live in, and this is what the stories we get to tell. And it was just Saturday for me was such a crazy day. And, you know, for me, to answer your question, bud, it was very different to be on that side of the spectrum, but
you're totally right.
I enjoyed every minute of it.
Yeah, it was great. Like, I mean, we saw a lot of vendors and we had a lot of guests on that were the vendors, and it was so much love there, and we got some great gear at the same time. Oh,
did we ever?
I can't wait for this season, my friend. Oh, the stuff
I am ready to pop. Crappy.
The stuff that the Perfect Jig came out with, True North has their stuff, you know.
The Mayfly, Jamie
from Raw Fish is there selling caps again. Taro shows up and he's rapping. It was mind blowing. And thanks for all the support. Thanks for everyone that came by. And you know, we said this so many times. We've only been doing this about a year, and it's unreal, buddy. It is unreal. I can't wait for more years.
and it's going to be great. And, you know, for everyone that was listening and everyone that came by our booth and bought merch, bought a hat, whether it was with, you know, Ugly Pike or it was with Diaries of a Lodge Owner, Outdoor Journal Radio, Eating Wild, mm-hmm. Under the Canopy, whatever merch you purchased from us, man, thank you so much for coming to visit us. It was awesome, awesome time in our lives. And speaking, Siege, of guests at the Sportsman Show, that brings us to our guest that we have coming up is Amanda Lynn Mayhew. And she was there. She was actually a couple booths over. She was, and she's busy. I don't know if anybody knows anything about Amanda, but she is a busy, busy person in our industry. And she was there signing autographs, talking to people. And I'm just so amazed that you were able to get a hold of her and how she
really
She jumped to be on the show.
It was fantastic. The way I saw little kids and older, like not just little kids, but girls, boys flock to her.
Yeah,
and what she does, I can't wait to talk to her more on this episode. What she does for, like, I mean, the hunting program she runs with them, and then her show itself. Like, I mean, it's just, man, she's been in the game for a long time, and she is, I bet, has a lot on her plate. And I can't wait to find out how she juggles all the time.
Yeah, it's amazing. And listen, like women in the outdoors, like we had the pleasure of having Nicole Vachel sit down with us at the show and what she's doing. And, you know, it's crazy how women in this sport are not only matching up to the dudes,
right?
They are, I mean, she is incredible, Amanda, at, you know, her TV show, being a mother. And I can't wait to bring her on because I have so many questions. We got some questions that me and you want to ask her. We might be putting her on the spot. I don't know. I don't even know if I should be asking these questions, but I'm going to bring them up.
Buddy, I have to know, she has a connection with one of my ultimate guys growing up. My dad and I watch his shows all the time. Mr. Chuck Norris.
Are you nuts? Of course, Mr. Total Jim. That guy's a beauty.
Yes.
Who hasn't
watched Chuck Norris? Texas Ranger. The movies. He had a movie with Bruce Lee back in the day. You remember that? Enter the Dragon. Chuck Norris came in.
Are you crazy? Oh boy,
I gotta ask her this. Hopefully she has the time.
There's a rumor that are they buds or did they work together? What's going on?
We're gonna find out, man. We're gonna find out.
Wow, Chuck Norris. I gotta ask her. For me personally, like when I, you know, I follow her on social media and watch her show whenever I can. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know she's very into the bear meat. So I'm going to talk to her about bear meat because, Siege, every time we have a guest on and we're talking hunting, specifically hunting, bear meat seems to be the thing. Jim Miller, Dave Gray, these boys are, you know, they swear by bear meat. And I want to know from her if that's, you know, one of the things that she turns to, if that's her game meat of choice. And listen, man, she pops, brother. She knows what she's doing.
It'll be a great question about the bear meat, buddy, because she pops everything.
Yeah. No, I see.
Like, I mean, it is crazy. And I don't know if you remember this, but back in the day when we went to a Sportsman Show, way back in the day, she was on a panel with females, and it was, I can't remember the other ladies. I know Mariko Izumi was on there.
Yeah, hooking up with Mariko, yep.
Yeah, and that's when we first saw Amanda. And what she's been doing for so long, man, our listeners are in for a good one, man.
Yeah, no, I can't wait. And listen, at the end of the day, Siege, you know, for her to take time to actually, you know, come onto the podcast, I'm sure she gets asked all the time to be on shows. And, you know, one more thing I want to add is, you know, I'm pretty sure she popped Timon and Pumbaa out in Africa. And I can't wait to ask her about that. You know, did she have Mufasa up on the shotgun? Because
could you imagine us foreskins in Africa?
Are you nuts? I'm scared of bears. Can you imagine there's a lot? Siege, I'm going to tell you right now, I will never, absolutely never. You want to take me to Africa to pop? I'll download the game on PS5 tonight. That's the fun. That's the
buddy. Okay. How about Dan Hookset and Top Dog and I will buddy, pop, and then you just cook. You cook everything up. We'll tell you stories. And there's no canoes in Africa, Tone.
I'm gonna You're tell good. You something. I will You're tell good, you man. This right now, Siege. Over my dead body, will I go ever near an animal that size and that color? Listen, let's be honest, okay? I can pop. I got a good step. You know that, okay? Ducks are flying. You got, you know, you get venison, you got the deers, you got, you want to put me in front of a lion, of a wildebeest, of a crocodile? Are you baked out of your mind? I'm going to tell you something right now, Siege. If you get the boys together and you plan a trip and you pay for my ticket, you pay for the ammo, you pay for the guy, this and that, ciao. You'll find me on PlayStation 5. I'll be playing Quarters Chow. There's absolutely no way I'm going to have
a pop. You're killing me. I didn't know it was a touchy subject, man.
You know what? We're going to talk. You got me going. We're going to take a short break. I need to calm down. My nerves
don't
shot.
Mention Africa.
I won't. Fans. I won't.
Do not slide in DMs and ask Tone if he's going to Africa.
Hakuna Matata, okay? Lion King growing up. I'm not doing it. I love Simba. I love Nala. We're not popping them. And listen, we're going to talk to her. We'll be back right after the short break. We're going to bring Amanda, and I can't wait. Okay, boys. Listen, this is Smash Maleka. We got Showtime Johnson. We got a wonderful guest lined up right after these short messages.
Looking to have the best meat delivered to your front door or to your restaurant? Look no further. I'm Antonio Maleka, owner of Gourmet Craft and Catering and host of the new Eating Wild podcast. I've been using the Butcher Shop for over 15 years, and boy, have they delivered. No matter what I needed to serve my clients, they had all my meats covered. From farm to table, serving only the finest and freshest Ontario-raised beef, duck, chicken, and all sorts of wild game delivered right to your front door or right to your restaurant. Located in Etobicoke, Ontario, the Butcher Shop has high-quality meats hand-cut by professional butchers every single day. With next-day delivery, you can assure that they will provide your family or restaurant with the highest quality and affordable fresh Ontario meat. There is no order too big or small. The Butcher Shop will deliver no matter what. Call them today or check out their storefront located at 121 Shorncliffe Road in Etobicoke, Ontario, or online at www.butchershop.com. That's www.butchershop.com. Tell them Smash sent ya. Ciao.
How did a small-town sheet metal mechanic come to build one of Canada's most iconic fishing lodges? I'm your host, Steve Nidzwicki, and you'll find out about that and a whole lot more on the Outdoor Journal Radio Network's newest podcast, Diaries of a Lodge Owner. But this podcast will be more than that. Every week on Diaries of a Lodge Owner, I'm going to introduce you to a ton of great people, share their stories of our trials, tribulations, and inspirations. Learn and have plenty of laughs along the way.
Meanwhile, we're sitting there bobbing along trying to figure out how to catch a bass. And we both decided one day we were going to be on television doing a fishing show.
My hands get sore a little bit when I'm reeling in all those bass in the summertime, but that's might be for more fishing than it was punching.
You so confidently you said, "Hey, Pat, have you ever eaten a drum?"
Find Diaries of a Lodge Owner now on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome, folks, back to the Eating Wild podcast. We are part of the Outdoor Journal Radio podcast team. Siege, I am so pleased to introduce our special guest. She is the producer and host of That Hunting Girl. Please let us welcome Amanda Lynn Mayhew. Thank you so much for joining us today, Amanda.
Thanks for having me. This is going to be fun. I mean, the preview of this was already fun.
I was recording some of the preview. It would have been funny.
Well, it would have been funny because I butchered the name a few times because I'm nervous, actually. I'm actually, to be honest, Siege, I'm a little bit nervous, and I'll tell you why. Because we've been talking about Amanda for a long time. We've been following her on social media, her TV show, which we're gonna talk about with her. But I got to be honest, this is, for me, is one of the more special occasions as the Eating Wild host. And I don't got Lou. He's got the sniffles. Okay, we're chirping him. He's got the sniffles. Dan, it's his daughter's birthday. Couldn't be here with us, but it's you and I. And we are so pumped to have you with us today, Amanda.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. Wow.
I've never seen Antonio nervous before. It's fantastic.
I don't know why you're nervous.
You know what it is, Siege? It's just one of those things. Like we we watch Amanda, and I know how busy you are, and the fact that you were able to take the time to join us, Siege. We were talking about it. We're super
enthused. She is the pioneer. I think the first time we saw you, Amanda, was the Toronto Sportsman Show way, way back when you were way up back. There with Mariko.
You were yep. up with, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's it's a long time ago. And we were very impressed. We're like, wow. It was, yeah. So it's an honor to have you on.
That was actually in 2011 at the Outdoor Canada right. show that they had. And they had myself and Mariko and Vanessa Harrop on the women's panel.
Yes,
that's right. And that mm-hmm. was the first time we locked on to you. And you have done amazing things, unbelievable things. And we're going to talk about it. But for the people listening that, you know, don't follow Amanda or don't know much about Amanda, please, can we take you back as a little girl and what brought you to this unbelievable hunter and outdoorsman, and what are the roots? Where did this all come from? Where did it start, Amanda?
My dad, my mom. So Northern Ontario, very small, remote town, Manitowoc, no traffic lights, 3,000 people. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of how you grew up. You weren't fishing and camping and hunting and learned how to ride dirt bikes and three-wheelers and all those kinds of things. And that's just what you did. And I didn't know that all of this other stuff was out there. Like, we didn't have cable television. I didn't grow up watching any outdoors hunting shows or watch the Dukes of Hazzard,
oh,
man.
Oh, yeah.
Bowen Luke Duke. Are you kidding?
Oh, man.
I wanted to be like them.
General Lee.
Daisy Duke, come on,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah.
Roscoe Pico train. I'm a Duke, man. Nuts.
That's right. So, and my dad was a mechanic, so he used to build like all these crazy machines for us, like all these different three wheelers, and you know, we got to drive vehicles in the bush at a young age, and just to you got to have fun in the bush, and whether you were driving or fishing, camping, having fires, whatever, it was just like fun and natural and awesome, and you always wanted to bring everybody you knew with you. So that's how I grew up, and wow. You know, I was a single mom at a very young age. And so I was a teenage mom and I didn't stop doing what I did. And I had three boys. They're all grown now and I raised them the same way. And we moved to Southern Ontario because I was doing bodybuilding.
Right.
And I was in the media a lot for bodybuilding. And I started my own fitness magazine back then, I'd say 2006. And I had got on the horn with the Total Gym. I watched Chuck Norris do a workout with the Total Gym. Yeah. And
I remember you mentioned you met him before too, right?
And he's a friend of mine.
He's a friend of yours. Oh my Lord. So with the Total
Gym. Yeah. So, wow. And it started back then. And then so the whole crisscross of fitness and media and who I was being involved in and associated with. And then Wild TV was like, oh, hey, you know, we want to do this with you. And all you have to do is just hunt. You don't have to film anything. And I'm like, okay, let's try it. And it was so well received. And then 2 years into doing only 3 episodes a year, I had my own season. And then the next year I flipped over to Sportsman Channel and rebranded the show That Hunting Girl. And that's like Just Hunt has existed since 2002, trademark registered 2015. And it has a clothing collection line with my own camo designs. It has the TV show That Hunting Girl, and it has the outreach program Take Me Outdoors. So fishing, hunting, and all the things outdoors.
What season are you on now, Amanda?
The 8th season just premiered this past Monday.
That's smoke.
So people listening to this, last Monday would have been April 1st, 2024.
And there's no joke. Sorry, yeah. There's no joke there either.
No joke.
No,
No joke. And that's incredible. So for you, you know, growing up as a little girl, you're with your father, you took on the fishing and the hunting and you brought it to another level. And the fact that you've been doing this 8 season siege, it is so hard to manage a clothing line, you're with your fitness. And so we were talking off camera about this awesome event that you're about to, we're going to talk about that. We're going to put you on the spot because I think it's awesome. And, you know, how do you find the time to be a mother to go out there and hunting it? Listen, hunting, we just got into it 5 years ago, 6 years ago.
We've always fished, but we recently got into hunting.
It's one of the hardest sports I think I've ever encountered, but we love it. And how do you do it? How do you find time, Amanda? How do you put this mind, get yourself focused to actually go out there and put out the product that you do?
very easily. So my three children are grown up. They have their own families. I don't know. Like I book my hunts a year in advance. So I know when they're coming up. And with in between those hunts, I have sportsman shows. I have seminars. I have, you know, my computer time in my office where I design my clothes. And I have a store on the property. So I have like a brick and mortar store as well as an online store. And I don't know. I get up in the morning. I usually have two coffees, go for a 6 kilometer run, come back, shower, and then just go, bang, what am I doing today?
Holy smokes.
That is crazy, Tone.
Nuts, man. It is nuts. I thought what I did for a living was nuts. Waking up now, the two coffees, mine's about 6, and I make that into an espresso because, you know, waking up at 4 in the morning every day and cooking for hundreds of people is pretty stressful. But I will say, you know, I could not even do half of the stuff you just mentioned in a full day. With the run, the run is the thing right there. That's what gets you going.
Like that run, you go it, once you're outside, and like you can run on a treadmill and give up anytime.
Right.
But once you're when you do it outside and you go like halfway, well, you got to come back. Right.
So true.
So you're committed. So yeah. So you do it outside. I really start training hard in the nicer weather, and then once you're back, you have this like whole like just amazing feeling over you that you can take on the world. So you just do.
That's so awesome. And, you know, just before we move on talking about your show, we got to talk about what you told us off air about this awesome opportunity. You're coming down to Toronto in the next week and you're prepping for it. You told us how much water you drank today. let's talk about it. What's happening? What's the news?
Well, I would say last summer, this gentleman got a hold of me. His name is Dr. Jeffrey Carroll, and he was Sean Connery's buddy, best friend, partner in business and whatever. They had created this fundraising event called Dress to Kilt. So it was born in Scotland. They brought it over to the US. It's a fashion show, but it's an entertaining fashion show. Cool. So you have A-list celebrities on the catwalk showcasing all these kinds of different fashion designers' outfits. And it's just like a mind-blowing event. And so I said yes. Before I even knew what it was really about, I'm like, sure, yeah, I'll do it. And then, now it's getting closer, and it's like Nicole Scherzinger from the Pussycat Dolls is going to be on the catwalk. Sam Hogan from the Outlander series on Netflix is going to be there. Wow. And Menno Room, I don't know if I'm saying her name right, but she's like the first lady of NHL. She's going to be there. And
Will you have a bow or a rifle on this catwalk?
I will actually, at first I thought I was going to be wearing a kilt,
okay,
but I'm not. They want me in my Just Hunt deceptive camo outfit with my beanie and my camo makeup across my face carrying my bow.
That is cool.
That is awesome.
That's great.
It's crazy. I know.
You're going to rock it. You're absolutely going to rock it. You're going to represent. And, you know, I can only imagine what that means to you because you're going to be wearing something that obviously you designed yourself and you're going to have your weapon in your hand. You know, you're in your zone. You got the camo out of the ice. I mean, Siege, would you buckle under the pressure or what, bud?
I don't know, man, but I'm surprised they didn't call you, Smash, to ask you to do the catwalk. Maybe next year, right? No, I'm looking forward to it. I'm assuming, Amanda, you'll have the content maybe on your socials so we could see
this. I hope so. I'm bringing one of my best girlfriends. She knows how to run a camera really well. So she's gonna do some camera work and some social media and photos and stuff like that. So yeah, we're gonna try and bring it up a notch to showcase it and help feature it for next year. This is the first year in Canada, and so
that's great.
And now if you served in the military, you're a veteran, or you're serving currently, we have VIP complimentary tickets. Like, I don't know if this
that's really cool.
Oh, yeah. We're going to get
before or after, but we're
on our social media right away, Siege.
Yeah.
You know, we need to get the word out there because this is an amazing event. And the fact that, you know,
all the proceeds go to the Royal Canadian Legion.
Amazing.
So you do all this, awesome. And you also do Take Me Hunting program. Is it TMH or something like that?
Yeah, TMH. So it's Take Me Hunting. Essentially, it's Take Me Outdoors. So anybody that, because you go through your hunting course, and you guys would probably know,
right?
You go through your hunting course, you get your firearms license. Well, where do you start?
Yeah.
Where are you going to go? What are you going to do? What are you going to buy? What are you going to put on your feet?
Right.
So I have like the so it's the Take Me Outdoors series. So take me fishing, take me hunting, whatever. So we start, depending on where your experience starts, if you're a new hunter, we're going to go grouse hunting or deer hunting, depending on if you want to start small and go big. If you're an advanced hunter, let's go bear hunting. Let's go to Alberta. Let's go to Africa. You know, New Zealand, Mexico, there's...
Holy cow.
It's just like, yeah, it's a huge program.
Maybe we should get Top Dog signed up to that program. Will you take guys in their 40s that can't shoot?
I'm actually taking this one gentleman. He reached out to me. He saw me on live TikTok, and he then proceeded to send me an email asking for his wish hunt. He's 58 years old. He has limited mobility. He has a cardiac problem.
Oh,
and he said, Amanda, it's been a long time since I've been hunting, and this is probably going to be one of my last hunts. And I want to know if you would, you know, be able to do this for me. And I was like, yeah, let's figure it out. So I called my buddy in Alberta, and we're going to meet up while I'm out there, and we're going to take him out on one of his final hunts.
Oh, that is amazing.
That's so awesome. And yeah. let me ask you this, you mentioned some pretty crazy animals just there. I just want to take that back a sec. So, when it comes to what Amanda likes to go out there and hunt, is it the more exotic animals, or is bear, moose, or crocodiles? What is it that Amanda loves to hunt? Like personally, not on TV, just for yourself. What puts you in your zone?
Oh God. Moose hunting.
Moose hunting. And we've never done that, Siege.
No, we haven't been lucky enough to get tags or anything like that. But yeah, I thought you were going to say bear for some reason.
No. So I grew up, I've shot so many bears. It's not even funny. I don't even, if I go bear hunting, it's going to be for a color phase, because it's something I haven't gotten yet.
Okay.
But I would rather see someone else shoot a bear than me harvesting it myself now, because I've shot so many. Moose, I've only ever shot two bull moose, and they've both been in Newfoundland. I've been moose hunting my entire life in Ontario. I've only ever had two tags, and I was with my dad a lot when he shot a moose.
Oh, that's cool.
But moose hunting goes back to my grandfather, where he was a guide, mm-hmm. and he was super recognized for what he did. And I was always going out, which was just me and my dad. I've gone out with my uncle in Kenora. It's just a whole heritage kind of sentiment, mm-hmm. kind of a hunt. And now I have the moose fellas. We're in our sixth season, yeah. and this group of guys, and we're introducing the next generation. So my youngest son had come out. And so moose is just you can do it alone. You can do it with a gang. And it's just, I don't know. That's the one that kind of pulls up my heart more than any of the other ones.
I heard an interesting fact about you. I don't know if it's true. It might be fake news, but are you still using your grandfather's rifle?
I am.
Yes. We have that in common. I have my my grandfather's waterfowl gun, and it's a Savage from it has one of those chokes that are built in that you adjust to full modified. It's ancient. And long story short, I can shoot ducks all day with that. And then I bought myself a beautiful Benelli Super Black Eagle. I can't hit anything with it. But my grandfather's old shotgun, when I heard that story, it's really, really cool. What was it, a Weatherby?
It's a Weatherby Vanguard 30-06 from the 50s, and I've had it for a long time. And that's it's the amazing. Animal, it's the gun that I used to take my first big game animal. And when Mackenzie was 12, he's 25 now, he took his first bear with that same gun.
No way. When he was 12?
Mm-hmm. When he was 12.
Tone.
That is amazing. Stop, Steve.
Just think of this. Your mom takes you when you're 12 to get your first.
Yeah.
There was
My mom dropped me off at hockey practice when I was 12 years old, Siege, okay? She actually, my mom, believe it or not, okay, listen, I got into the outdoors because of the four of us.
Right.
You know, CJ, Lou, Dan. I started fishing on my own because my family just wasn't into the sport, and I took it on my own. But I will tell you this, my mom, still to this day, when she knows it's September, October rolls around, she's like, are you going hunting, dear? Yes, Ma, I'm going hunting. Are you going to shoot a deer? I'm probably not going to shoot a deer, but I'm going to attempt to. You know what I mean? She got this look on her face. Of course, we're Southern Ontario. We didn't have much to look forward to, see each other than, outdoor.
It's incredible.
Playing ball hockey with your friends, and that's all we had. And then, we have our friends up north that we you know, as we got older, we got our license and we got to travel up north to muskie hunt. And how we got into fishing, to hunting, Amanda, is that there was a lot of times that the lakes were just so blown out that we're sitting around playing cards at the cottage. And it's like, well, look at all these grouse flying around. And there's, you know, there's deer everywhere on this land. And, you know, we got our pal together, all four of us. And now wow. it's part of our, I mean, it's such a huge part of our lives. And for me as a chef too, learning, and I want to get into this with you because I'm sure you have tons and tons of stories when it comes to field dressing and preparing your kills and eating from the land. And I wanted to ask you this. I don't know if this could be fake news too. Okay, so this could be fake news. Do you currently live on a farm?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So it's not fake news. So Amanda lives on a farm. Are you, do you have any chickens? Do you have any animals there that you harvest, like fresh eggs or milk or anything like that right now?
Yep. So I have laying hens for the eggs. I have sheep that we breed and we sell the lambs. We don't eat sheep because that's just like the one meat that I will not eat. It's disgusting, in my opinion. Yep. I have a turkey, a female turkey. She lays eggs and I eat her eggs. No way. Yeah, it's friggin' amazing.
I've never heard of that.
Turkey eggs are amazing.
Oh, we're stopping by to get a dozen. Hey, Tone?
I'll tell you right now, it's the first I've heard of turkey
eggs. A buck an egg, probably, you're going to pay. Oh, I don't know. Maybe I'll hook you up with some eggs.
Yeah.
What's the size of those, Amanda? Are they big? Like, are they obviously, it's not like an ostrich egg or anything, but they're big, right?
Yeah, they're big. No, they're not that big.
Basketball, we're doing bowling balls. What are we doing? Baseballs? Damn it.
She described a baseball. You're not a basketball team. For our listeners.
Damn it.
And we do 2 pigs every 2 years. So 2 pigs, about 350 to 380 pounds gives us meat in the freezer for 2 years. And that's dispersing it to the kids. And well, my parents are no longer with me, but it was, you know, handing it out to them. And yeah, so I have a farm. So not only do I go out hunting, but I raise what I can't hunt. So I like my pork and we do meat birds too sometimes, like chickens, but not a whole lot.
Have you ever lived in the city? I can't see you living in the city. You probably go bonkers.
I lived on the edge of Waterloo from 2001 until 2008. Yeah. And my kids went to school in St. Agatha. But that was when like that whole, I don't know if you're familiar with
Waterloo. I live in the London area, so I'm familiar with it.
So like that whole like boardwalk and Canadian Tire and all that Costco and stuff, none of that was there. It was all farmers' fields.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So yeah. And then once I started building that up, we moved to Elmira. Mm-hmm. And then from Elmira, we bought a farm out here and it's been 11 years.
11 years. And like where you are now, like, do you have, you know, access to, like, if you had to go grocery shopping now, you know, how far is it something where you prefer just to eat from your land, or do you grow produce and vegetables yourself? Or you
here's a whole bunch of answers.
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead.
The town is 5 kilometers away. It's an expensive grocery store, but if you need something, then it's there. I have 240 square foot gardens. One is vegetable garden and one is just like basil, tomatoes, like all those kinds of things. And so I go to the grocery store like maybe 4 times a year.
Oh my Lord.
Now when you were growing up, from what I heard, so you're getting back to your original life kind of, because when you were growing up, the grocery store was the woods for you, right? Your father was a hunter, and then I believe your mom liked fishing.
My mom liked fishing. Yeah, she was the angler. The fish would like literally just jump in the boat for her. She wouldn't even have to put a rod out.
Well, that's what you're used to. Like, I mean, harvest, I'm sure your dad was filling the freezer when you were a young age. And
Yep. So bear meat, moose meat, grouse, and fish obviously were the bigger things. We had a grocery store there, obviously in Montage, but it's expensive. My dad was a mechanic, so it was a lot of like chicken noodle soup and Kraft dinner and stuff like that. It wasn't, you know.
Still is these days for people, Siege, because the price of food right now is nuts.
That's insane. I went to the grocery store like 2 months ago for the first time in 2 years because my husband goes to the grocery store. I don't do it. He does it because I'm usually gone. I went in 2 months ago and I was like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. I deal with it every day, Amanda. It's insane how much, like I read the market report every single weekend, you know, because that's our job. It's my business. And when you look at the price of food right now, and now with the carbon tax going up and all this other shit happening, it's almost going to be you're not going to be, to put a good meal on your table right now, Siege, mm-hmm. it's almost impossible. And like I said, the craft dinners,
it's all canned crap.
Tuna fish, it's all crap. It's all shit.
Two bags will cost you $200.
People are leaving. And when my produce bill comes in now, we spend about $10,000 to $13,000 a week on produce. But I will say this, I am changing the way I'm purchasing. Mm-hmm. I'm going more towards root vegetables because root vegetables are cheaper.
Right.
I can only feed so many carrots to people and beets and, you know, Swiss chard's coming in now. But like, I can't even afford like romaine hearts. You had to pull a mortgage for it, you know, two months ago. It was insane, right? Yeah. Am I wrong?
You know, it would be a really good for the catering thing. Butternut squash.
Yes. Yes.
Acorn squash. Spaghetti beautiful. Squash.
Absolutely. And purees, all that stuff.
You can do so many different things with it. You can chunk it. You can smash it. You can string it. You can do whatever. Put brown sugar on it.
Yeah, you had me a butternut. I'll be honest. the other thing too is like I'm using vegetables that I've never used, like haven't used a lot of, like for instance, celery root. And celery root, you can get it so cheap right now. Making a puree with celery root right now, combining that with duck breast or even chicken, it's almost like a sauce. You could add a little bit of truffle oil to it. Beautiful. I know we're going off topic here, but I'm getting excited.
You're making me hungry, damn it.
It's like supper time. Yeah.
I'm so sorry. But listen, back to the moral of our question here, you're harvesting, you're only going shopping four times a year, and you're eating organic grown food from your property. That's incredible. It's
that, and then we legit have four freezers in the property. We have a great big huge chest in the garage that's full of so I shot a moose in October in Newfoundland, and so did my son. He shot his first bull moose. Wow. So we even had a gala night, a take me hunting gala night in December, and we took 25 pounds of ground moose and we made sweet and sour moose balls and we fed about 100 people with that.
That's great.
So we're trying to give back in so many different ways, but we have that freezer full. We have two freezers in the basement. One is poultry, like turkey, chicken, pork. And the other one is elk, bear meat and venison. And like, I make my own bacon.
It's awesome.
Yeah. And then there's another freezer that has like vegetables and fruits and cherries. And
I have another fake news question.
Oh, that's a theme, Tom? Yeah. Right now we're coming up. We're like eatingwildfakenews.com.
Amanda's favorite game meat to eat is bear. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Mm. It used to be. Oh, and then no. I went to Africa.
Fake news.
Ding, 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 ding.
Seriously, it has been. A household favorite for years and years and years and years and years. And then I went to Africa this past summer.
Yes.
And now my favorite wild game is water buck.
Water buck.
We got to get into the Africa thing. I'm dying to know about this.
Okay. So let's dive into this. So you've been to Africa, you've hunted in Africa. Tell me please some of the species that you popped, because I'm dying to know. And I want to know what they taste like. Rate them from one to whatever it is.
Oh my God.
I need to know. I have to know, because Siege, we talk about this all the time.
We do.
She's living the dreams and the fantasies we have as a group.
I know, man.
We're living through Amanda right now. And I need to know, please.
The chef that we had in Africa just blew my mind, because I'm a gluten-free girl and I have allergies. So he like made everything just divine for us. So on day one, I shot a wildebeest and a kudu. So that night we had wildebeest and kudu on our plates. And then the rest of it went to the 23 families that live on the property. And kudu is venison. Right. So tastes like venison. It was nothing spectacular. It was still really good. Okay. Wildebeest was roughly the same. If you could take bear meat and mix it with elk meat, that would probably be your wildebeest. Wow. Flavor.
Are they quite lean, Amanda?
Oh yeah. And then the second day, all the other girls were shooting animals, so I was just running around filming. On day three, I shot my water buck. oh my God, best really? Thing I've ever tasted in my life. Not even kidding.
No like, way. That is awesome. Yes.
I can't even explain the texture, the flavor. It was, I don't know. It's like if you take chicken and pork and add some elk in there. I don't know.
What a combo. What a combo.
Water buck steak. And it was so tender and it melted in your mouth. And you can't, you know what? Like there's really nothing to compare it to. You can compare it to water buck.
Water buck.
And it was so good. And then we had gemsbok.
Okay.
Yeah. So we had that. And we had impala. We had warthog, which
warthog.
Is like pig.
Yeah. Right.
Pork. We had. What else did we have? We had duiker. One of the girls shot a duiker. It's just, it looks like a squished miniature deer with like two little horns on its head.
Oh, cool.
Impala, warthog. Yeah, that's basically it. Those are all the animals that we together as a group, like that was the variety of the animals that we harvested.
So were you there and a week? Were you there for a week shooting?
7 days.
7 days.
7 days. And did you get any of that for your show as well? Was any of that?
Oh, dude.
Part one, part
the
two.
Whole thing was
Oh, no spoiler alerts, please. Yeah. You got to
watch. We actually aired the first episode. It's called Broken Arrows, and we aired it on April the 1st. And the second part, Broken Arrows Part 2, will be airing April the 8th.
8th, yes.
April the 8th. Amazing. Mm-hmm. And do you harvest? So when you were there, I know you mentioned you had the chef there. Did you do any of the harvesting? Did you get in there? Did you say, you know, you want to do some of the field dressing and stuff? Or did they take care of everything?
They take care of everything. So the day I shot the wildebeest, we were literally in the blind for 20 minutes. I shot the wildebeest. We did all our videos and pictures and everything. And then this truck and trailer shows up, which I never knew was going to happen. And they just load the wildebeest up and they take it away to the skinning shed and they gut it, they skin it, they butcher it. Boom, it's on your plate for dinner. And then I shot my kudu at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We did the same thing. And then these guys show up and like, you literally do nothing. You shoot your animal and then you go eat it.
Holy
so that
smokes.
Is like something that's like so new to me because I'm used to doing like showing the girls like, hey, this is where we're going to start.
I've seen your shows before and you're always right in there. You're always in there doing it all. And what I love about
my nail lady hates me. She's just like, Amanda, what did you even shoot this time?
Oh my God. And I have a quick question for you. What would you prefer? What do you prefer to use, a bow or a gun? Like what, like for you, if it's your perfect day, and you know, if you're whatever it is, what do you prefer using?
I'm so addicted to my bow.
Okay.
So addicted to my bow. Here's my dog. but I do, I've always been a gun girl. And then my son introduced me to archery and I love it. Like it's so much more rewarding to use a bow. There's more movements, obviously.
Right.
And once you pull it back, like you have to be able to hold that for an amount of time.
It's funny you say that. A lot of our guests on our show have mentioned the same thing. Hey, Tone, a lot of them say that they used to be into like rifles and shotguns and all that.
And Dino, Dino is one of them, right? Because Dino was saying forever that, you know, the reward of, you know, popping with the bow, with this bow is there's no like,
yeah,
there's no question. There's no contest of the reward and the feeling, right? We don't know that.
And there's so many, like, I don't know. There's so many different variables. Like if you never want to take a poor shot, but say you're like a half an inch off the vitals with your bow and that broadhead is stuck in that animal and that animal is running, that broadhead is still doing its job.
That's right. A good point.
You shoot it with a gun and you're a little bit off target. Well, the bullet's already done its job. It's not going to do anything else. I don't know. Like, does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, totally.
And that brings me to my next question. This question is from Dan. Dan sent me this picture today and he wanted me to ask Amanda this question. So we are planning our first turkey hunt. None of the four of us have gotten to shoot and harvest a turkey yet in our 5 years of hunting. And his question was, for our first time going hunting for turkey this year, would you suggest I use my gun or my bow? What would you prefer? I think we know the answer, but for people like us that, or people listening that are just starting
more of a beginner,
beginner, what would you suggest?
a 12 gauge shotgun with a turkey, with a turkey choke, and a turkey load. So a 3-inch turkey load, and you want your turkey choke on there because it's going to be an extra full choke. And I would, I personally, 12 gauge.
High vis thing on it. It's like a bead.
And do you still right now when you turkey hunt, do you still go with a shotgun or do you?
I do. So my first bird is taken with the shotgun, and then I have this like whole crazy guillotine broadhead system for my bow, and my second turkey is usually taken with the bow.
And do you ever miss? Do you ever miss?
I've missed one turkey.
No way.
I missed one turkey and I was so mad at myself. Actually, no, I've missed two birds. So opening day 1 year, I don't know how many years ago it was. Opening day was on a Sunday. So there's no gun hunting here on a Sunday. So I had to use the bow. Mm-hmm. And this blind that I was using that my sponsor had given me is like, you pull it up over your head and you sit down and it's got like two chairs in the back. And I just ran out and set it up, and it was like a really windy day and I didn't peg it down or nothing. And I'm sitting in my chair and this Tom, I put these decoys out and this big Tom comes up and is like molesting my decoys. And I'm like, oh my God, this is perfect. Like he's only 10 yards away. And I pull my bow back and I can't pull my bow back because there's no room in my blind.
Oh, no. Oh my God. That sounds like something would happen to me, Siege.
Well, fiddly sticks. Yes. And then the second time that I missed was probably, I would say a year later, I had these three toms coming up from my right, coming up the hill. And I don't know, they were like kind of spooky. Like they wanted to come in, but they weren't really coming in. And then I'm like, well, screw it. I'm just going to take a shot. And it was like 60 yards out. And it was kind of just like it was like a dumb shot. I knew I wasn't going to get it.
That's why I like your show so much. Like every episode that I find that I watch of yours, it has a story to it. And you,
of course,
and you don't always, I'm not going to knock any other shows, but you will have a show where you don't get anything. And I like that, you know,
like Moose Fellows.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I saw one, the Moose Fellows, whatever. And I believe you weren't feeling great that episode. And sons were out and all that, but you were helping all out, and they didn't get anything, but they got a lot of grouse, you know, and I, as a viewer, I respect that. You have the storyline. And it's just, you see the real thing, you know, it's not all cut. I'm sure there's editing and all that stuff in your shows, but you're not afraid to air episodes where, you know, you're not getting that trophy or the struggles of an average hunter. And I really respect that.
Thank you. My dad always said to just, if you're going to do a job, do it right and do it with your heart. Mm-hmm. So that's what I do. So when I first started filming for Wild TV and they were all about like the kill shot. And I'm like, you know what? We didn't get anything this time, but I have an amazing episode and I have an amazing story. Yeah. And so there you go. So amazing. They accepted that, and it was well received because it relates to hunters.
It does.
Because not every hunter is going to go out. I didn't shoot a deer last year. Mm-hmm. I didn't shoot one.
Right.
So I went out a couple of times, nothing happened. And I don't even have a deer episode because I did not get a deer.
Right.
So I didn't do a lot of deer hunting, but you know, it happens.
And one thing I would say is the realism of your shows, and you connect with the audience very quickly. Your fitness is there. You know what you're doing. The audience is gravitating to you right away. And I can only imagine for little girls, again, Siege, me and you come from a family of girls. I have two girls, Siege has two girls. And, you know, people watching you and young kids and women watching you, you must have so much weight on your shoulders to deliver because you are literally, you know, every little girl, like, you can do this. You can kick men's asses out there. And you're doing it. And you're doing it better than most people we know. And, you know, it's amazing what you do. And how do you feel when you have these kids coming up to you and saying, Amanda, can I get your autograph? And it's like, I want to be like you one day. What's that feeling like?
It feels good. I asked them for their autograph.
That's so cool. Awesome.
Yeah. I have multiple, so the kids that used to come see me at the Toronto Sportsman Show, or that have, you know, that come and see me at the Toronto Sportsman Show, I have so many stories from them. Like this one girl, Abby, she came and saw me when she was 6 years old. She's 17 now. Wow. And she's going to school to be an M&R officer.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, there's this little boy, George. The first time he came to see me, he was 6 years old. He's 14 now. And we stay in touch during through email. I ask him how school's going. He asked me how my hunts are going. So we stay in touch that way. Abby's actually a part of my Just Hunt ambassador team now. There's so many of them. There's like even this one girl. Last year I went to Saskatchewan and I spoke at a Wildlife Federation mm-hmm. dinner. And this girl, she's 16 and she was like so nervous to come and talk to me. And she never did. But when I got home, I had this message on Instagram from her. And she's like, "Hey, Amanda, my name is Meadow. I'm 16. You know, I hope one day that I could, you know, grow up to be like you or hunt with you or whatever the case may be." And I messaged her back. Blew her mind. Didn't think anything of it. I was like, "Yeah, you know, maybe we could hook something up or whatever." And she's like, "Oh, that'd be so cool." Little did I know I was going bear hunting a couple months later in Saskatchewan. So I was in Saskatchewan in April. In May, I went to the Miramichi and I was filming a striper bass episode in Miramichi. I called her on May 14th, which was the day she was turning 17, on a video chat and it like surprised her. And I said, "Hey, what do you think about joining me for a bear hunt when I come back in June in Saskatchewan?" She was like, "What? Are you kidding?" And she's crying.
Oh, boy.
And yeah. So then I went back. I took my son Brady and another junior ambassador, Wade. Oh my God, I could go on forever. I'll go back to Wade in a minute. Remind me.
Okay.
Yeah.
We go there. Everyone harvests their bears. And I take Meadow out for 6 hours and we're in a ground blind and this bear is coming and coming and coming. And I'm like, okay, like I have a shotgun. She's got a rifle.
You're good.
I'm her backup. And we're good. And I'm like, "Meadow, if you let that bear come any closer, we're going to be in a little bit of trouble here." So she took one shot and she harvested her first bear. And now so I went back and I spoke with the Saskatchewan Wildlife Federation just this past February. And I brought her in to it as well. And I got her in the seminar and she's never did public speaking before in her life. And I introduced her and she told her story. And she did such an amazing job. And now she has applied to go to college for environmental studies and she wants to be a conservation officer.
Oh my goodness. The trickle effect. Right? That is amazing.
So, wow. Yes. That's so amazing. Let me go back to Wade real quick.
Wade,
Wade was 12 years old. I was at the Timmins Sportsman Show. He came up to I met his parents. We were all doing archery together. We didn't really know each other very well. He came up to me at the end of the weekend. He's like, "Amanda, can you teach me how to bear hunt?" And I was like, "Absolutely, I can." So I together with his parents, we kind of I showed them how to set up a bait stand and set up a proper tree stand. We did a 6x8 tree stand, nice big platform because he's 12, right? Mm-hmm. And we did a three foot plywood wall so he could kind of jiggle and move around because we didn't know how long we were going to be sitting there. So the following year, 13 years old, I go up there. We film the show. He's bear hunting. He takes a shot at this bear, and it's a big bear. And we looked everywhere for it. We couldn't find it. The following year, he's 14. We go back to that same tree stand. We call it the Green Barrel. And you would have seen these episodes on YouTube. Yep. He shoots this ginormous bear. It's like a 500-pound bear. It's so fat. It's disgusting. I take the hide off this bear. They take the hide off the bear. And then I go out with Wade and we're taking the fat off the bear. And we find the bullet in the hide from the year before.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh
yes. So now Wade is 18 years old. He does his own bear baiting. He's helping guide. He's taking his buddies out bear hunting. It just blows my mind. So that's just kind of, that's what I get to be involved in. I get to be involved in the kids' futures.
Right at a young age, and you can see the progression. That is, oh man.
Yeah.
That's
there's fine. A list. I have a list of kids that I've watched grow up for the last, 11 years through the Sportsman Show.
Oh my Lord.
Tony, can you imagine?
That's got to be the craziest story, Siege. That's a story.
Could you imagine your mom? Your mom, we had a name back in the day for moms like you, and it's not going to be the weird name, but it was called Bam. It was Badass Mom. Badass Mom. Bam.
Yeah. Bam for
Amanda
sure.
Amanda is a Bam.
100%.
I'm just, I'm so proud of these kids, like all of them, mine, other people's kids. Like that's where my passion is the kids, because without the kids, then we have no future.
Yeah, it's so 100%. True. It is so true.
Fishing or hunting.
Yes.
Fishing or hunting. Now, I know you're busy and you got so much to do. You got to prep for this, the catwalk. And we've kept you longer than we said, but I got to ask you one more thing, Siege. We always put our guests on the spot towards the end of the episode. Mm-hmm. And I think this will be pretty easy for Amanda, because just listening to her talk for the last half hour or 40 minutes we had you on, I'm sure this is going to be a no problem for you. But what is a recipe or something that you like to prepare when it comes to game or fish? We always take a recipe of the day from our guests, and I'm sure you probably have more than what we know.
She had a cookbook.
What we can produce.
You have a cookbook, right?
A cookbook. And like, what would you say is your go-to meal for your kids? Maybe something you cook for the boys that they always liked. And what species would that be? Fish or would that be wild game? What can you throw at us?
Oh my God. Pulled bear. Ooh. So instead of pulled pork, pulled bear. So you take a bear roast, you put it in the slow cooker for 8 hours on low. Put a little bit of brown sugar in there and a little bit of soy sauce.
Eight hours on low.
And then pull that thing apart and put it on a bun. You can eat it just by itself. Oof. You can add it to a stir fry after that if you want. Oh, yeah.
Pulled bear. Siege, we're going to put this up on the Fishing Canada website.
I can just picture it now, Tone. Like if 8 hours. So if it's in your house for 8 hours, you know how we'd use those slow cooker. You can start smelling it in the house, you know, 2 hours in, 3 hours in, 4 hours. Oh, my goodness. I am.
You can do like a little bit of cinnamon and brown sugar in it. With some soy sauce.
Boy.
So can our listeners still get your cookbook on
I think so. I think it's like on Amazon or something. I don't even know. Okay. That was old.
I have.
So
we got to work on a new and improved one with you, Amanda.
Yeah, maybe this is, we could.
Collaboration?
Yes. There it is.
Eating wild. Ba, ba, ba.
Eating wild collaboration.
I have.
You know what? You guys should do an Eating Wild cookbook and have collaborators through the cookbook. So you could have like a recipe with Amanda, a recipe with like Angelo, a recipe with, I mean, I don't know if he cooks or not, but.
Angelo's pasta carbonara, 100% with guanciale. I already know Ange. That's going to be his recipe for sure. And
she's a marketing genius.
That would be an amazing project for you guys. And that would incorporate all these people that you're doing podcasts with that cook their wild game.
See, she's a pro, Tone. She's a pro.
Okay. Chapter one.
Amanda.
Chapter one, Siege, it's pulled bear.
That's it. Before you go, I know we're keeping you. You got a lot to do. You touched on it earlier. I know the story. Tone knows the story. But how the heck did Chuck Norris change Amanda's life?
Yes, I was going to ask that. And I felt awkward asking it. So I'm glad you did, Siege.
Okay, so back in 1998 when Mackenzie was born, I was diagnosed with Graves' disease. So thyroid is in your throat. So I was diagnosed with Graves' disease, and they gave me radiation. They gave me a whole bunch of pills and shit to take to try to regulate it and stuff. And I was up one night. It was like 4 o'clock in the morning, and I saw that Chuck Norris infomercial. Yeah. He was using this Total Gym thing, and I'm like, "What? Who's that?" So I ran to Walmart the next day and I bought it for like $140.
What a deal.
It literally changed my life. I would put like, Mackenzie was just like a little benum, and he would either sleep on my chest and I would just pull myself for hours watching TV. Or I'd put him, when he was awake, I'd put him at the top of my head and I'd push myself down and bring my legs up so it would concentrate on my core, and I would just pull for hours. And it literally started my bodybuilding career. Okay. And yeah. So I started a fitness magazine because when I would go to the gym and I'd open a magazine, it was all advertisements. And I was like, this is horse baloney. Like, I want to read an article. I don't want
to read
an ad. So I started my own fitness magazine, and I had called Total Gym, and I ended up getting the inventor's wife, Joy. And I told her my story, and she's like, so what do you want out of this? And I'm like, well, it'd be really cool to do an infomercial with Chuck Norris. And she laughed at me. Uh-huh. And she's like, you have the biggest set of balls I've ever met on a woman. And I'm like, thank you.
So you got the owner of the Total Gym's wife on the phone?
Yeah.
What are the odds she answers it?
Right?
Yeah.
So then what happened is she laughed at me and she's like, I'll call you back. And so she called me back a couple weeks later She's like, how would you like to come to Houston and come to the Kickstart Kids fundraising gala event and have dinner with Chuck and Gina? And I was like, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Hung up, called my mom. I'm like, Mom, I need a dress. Help.
Ciao. I'm out.
So you got some Needleman and all that stuff, the Walker Texas Ranger.
I gave him my Wild Game cookbook.
Oh, man. Oh.
Yeah.
We're not Chuck Norris, Tone.
I know, but like we gotta take Amanda's advice here, man. We're missing out here, brother.
I know.
We already got chapter one. It's done already. Bold Bear.
You guys, you know what? You have an Eating Wild podcast.
Yes.
Yes.
Have something to back it up.
Yes. Yeah, she's calling to sell it right on air.
Well, I will tell you this.
I don't blame her.
Our spices have been cracking ground. We're doing well with them. We were actually giving them away at the Sportsman Show, just the samples, because it's, you know, I've been using them every day here in the kitchen. And at the studio here, I have a full kitchen downstairs that it's where our business is. And it's funny how we've been giving out free samples of spices to people, and the feedback that we're getting, Siege, is crazy. And I think Amanda's 100% right. If we had something to back this up, we have a hard copy that we can say, hey, folks, here.
You know, so we're going to trade you spices for turkey eggs.
Done.
Okay. Done deal? Okay.
Yeah. Tell me where do you guys live?
I'm in London. I'm in London. Tone is in
I'm in Georgetown. Georgetown.
And then,
home of Nashville North.
Yeah. Nashville North. Yep.
Well, you know what? Line dance there all the time.
You know what? That was the best club growing up.
Oh, it is.
Well, I don't know about growing up. I was old when I went there, but
I'll tell you, when I was Nashville North was popping back in the day. It was Thursday nights. They did the line dancing and they did the dance classes before they shut the lights down, they had live music. Now there's trees growing into it. It's terrible.
I know. Brutal. We still actually hit the ranch in Guelph on Friday nights.
For the ranch.
We were just there a couple weeks ago.
Ranch. Oh, that's she so knows awesome. All the places.
Oh boy!
I probably ran into one of these days. I probably ran into, probably bought you shots. Who knows what I was doing, right?
You guys need to honestly think about tying your stuff together.
Yes,
Eating Wild, the podcast, the book.
I love it.
That is
coming out. We are dialing in, and it's thanks to Amanda. Now, before you go, one more thing: how can people watch your show? It's on the Sportsman Channel. We know this. What time? What day? And can people still go on YouTube and watch Amanda's shows?
Yep. So you can watch all the old episodes. If you go to justhunt.ca and click on that Hunting Girl drop down menu and click on episodes, you can watch all of the old episodes over the last 8 years or 7 years. You can watch the new season on Sportsman Channel Canada Mondays at 7:30. And it also airs 4 more times during the week. And you can get those air times on justhunt.ca, as well as all of the social media links from Pinterest to TikTok to Instagram to Twitter.
Wow. Jesus, man. You must have said that a million times.
A million times.
Yeah. That was perfect.
And you can see her on the catwalk.
On the catwalk. Yeah. Hey, good luck on the catwalk. Yeah. Don't be nervous. We're rooting for you. Well, listen, I just want to say thank you so much for taking 49 minutes. Siege, we got 49 minutes with Amanda. Yes. We didn't think we were going to get past
that. This was so much fun, though. I like all the fake news questions. That's cool.
Yeah, thank you. So we're going to check in with you every 6 months. Or 8?
Whenever you want.
They're checking in. And if we pop a turkey, if we do get a turkey this spring.
Oh, my God. I so need to know.
I know. And you know what? It's not going to be me because I'm terrible. I'm putting my money on Dan or Siege.
Well, you know what? My grandbaby girl is 4 years old this year. So last year when I took her turkey hunting, she was 3. And she was scratching on that turkey slate.
I've seen it on your Instagram. Yes, I've seen it.
Don't say you can't do it.
Yes.
You can never say that.
Your granddaughter, she's in for it, right? Like you're going to groom her right into that's amazing. I love that. I love it. It's fantastic.
She's a princess and she's a tomboy. She's got this little Jeep that she drives around because Brady's like a hot rod head.
Right.
So, and she comes turkey hunting with me and she loves vehicles and four wheelers, but she likes her princess dolls. And oh my God, she's like the best thing in the world.
So does Tone. Oh, Tone still likes his princess dolls too for some reason.
What's your problem, man? You got to bring that up.
Yeah, oh, man. Sorry.
I got girls, man. I got baby girls at home. Aww. Okay. Well, they're not babies anymore. 13. That's a problem, hey, Amanda?
Oh, teenage years. Off air. Yeah, off here.
We might need to chat. 13 years old right now. We're talking boys. We're like Siege.
We might have to send her to Amanda's farm.
we might need to toughen her up.
Come hang out here. Yeah. Yeah. That's so funny that you say that, because my friends that all have daughters, they're like, I'm sending my daughter to you. Yeah,
that could be, like, okay. That could be a side business for you too.
Oh, I'm killing.
You need daycare?
Yes.
Oh my God. I'm killing. I don't know if you have this at home right now, anybody, but we have ladybugs infesting our house right now. And I'm there with a vacuum for my, she calls me. And Victoria's calling me, Daddy, can you come upstairs? There's ladybugs all over my window. I'm like, are you kidding me?
I gotta go. They're actually Asian beetles.
Asian beetles. They're the oranges.
They look,
orange
they look like ladybugs, though. Bite. Yeah, I have a few. They bite. They're not nice.
Finger was swollen last week.
I have my gardens growing in my kitchen right now. So I have all like my butternut squash plants and stuff that I've already started. And they attract those. Yeah. So I have some
I love it. Well, we need more. We gotta do this again, please. Yes. I want to dive into food with you, because we didn't have enough time to do it. But I'm gonna say at least June, July, when you're starting to pick those fresh herbs and, you know, whatever it is you do, I want to know, and I can't wait to get you back on the show.
For sure, absolutely.
Thank you so much.
So fun.
Go for it.
So fun. This is like. Yeah, super fun. Thank you.
Awesome. We'll be right back, Siege. We will be right back after these messages. We will close out the show.
As the world gets louder and louder, the lessons of our natural world become harder and harder to hear, but they are still available to those who know where to listen. I'm Jerry Ouellette, and I was honored to serve as Ontario's Minister of Natural Resources. However, my journey into the woods didn't come from politics. Rather, it came from my time in the bush and a mushroom. In 2015, I was introduced to the birch-hungry fungus known as chaga, a tree conch, with centuries of medicinal use by Indigenous peoples all over the globe. After nearly a decade of harvest, use, testimonials, and research, my skepticism has faded to obsession, and I now spend my life dedicated to improving the lives of others through natural means. But that's not what the show's about. My pursuit of this strange mushroom and my passion for the outdoors has brought me to the places and around the people that are shaped by our natural world. On Outdoor Journal Radio's Under the Canopy podcast, I'm going to take you along with me to see the places, meet the people, that will help you find your outdoor passion and help you live a life close to nature and under the canopy. Find Under the Canopy now on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever else you get your podcasts.
Back in 2016, Frank and I had a vision to amass the single largest database of muskie angling education material anywhere in the world.
Our dream was to harness the knowledge of this amazing community and share it with passionate anglers just like you.
Thus, the Ugly Pike podcast was born and quickly grew to become one of the top fishing podcasts in North America.
Step into the world of angling adventures and embrace the thrill of the catch with the Ugly Pike podcast. Join us on our quest to understand what makes us different as anglers and to uncover what it takes to go after the infamous fish of 10,000 casts.
The Ugly Pike podcast isn't just about fishing. It's about creating a tight-knit community of passionate anglers who share the same love for the sport. Through laughter, through camaraderie, and an unwavering spirit of adventure, this podcast will bring people together.
Subscribe now and never miss a moment of our angling adventures. Tight lines, everyone.
Find Ugly Pike now on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever else you get your podcasts.
We interrupt this program to bring you the much-anticipated bonus code for our Outdoor Journal Radio's Podcast Network giveaway.
This week's code is COACH. That's all capitals, COACH.
Just type that in the bonus code section of the contest and receive 100 free entries towards a Garmin LiveScope Plus system. For those who aren't yet entered, what are you waiting for? Head over to thefishingcanada.com while you listen to the rest of this episode. Click contests and sign up for all the latest Fishing Canada giveaways. For next week's code, tune in to the Diaries of a Lodge Owner podcast. Now, back to the episode. We are back, folks. And wow, that's all I got to say, Siege.
Mind-blowing.
Wow. Mind-blowing. Welcome back to the Eating Wild podcast. Smash Malecka alongside Showtime Johnson. And Showtime, I really wish Lou and Dan were here for this one because it was a banger. She's one of the most incredible people I've ever talked to, be honest.
Yeah, man. And the good thing is looks like we're going to have her on the show again. Yeah. We could have 6 or 7 podcasts with this lady because of all the stuff she's done. We just
cracked ground on her.
Yeah. Like, I mean, wait till we find out more and more and more. It's unreal, man. What a story.
And again, I want to say thank you to Amanda for joining us. I know with her busy schedule, she's got the runway thing coming up. She's a pussycat doll with, you know, and then they're just going to be, it's going to be a great night. And the best part is she's rocking it. She's going out there in the full camel, got the bow in the hand. You got the paint on the face. She's right. Representing it. And we're excited for her. And speaking of excitement, Siege, we had a winner. Ran a beautiful contest for the last month, and we gave away a beautiful prize pack, and we got a winner. What's happening?
So this is on Instagram giveaway, and it was donated by Frostbite and Andrew Walker with Cast and Conquer Angling. So we had 2 Frostbite rods, and the lucky winner was Babbling Brook Outdoors. So this young lady happened to win, very lucky young lady happened to win that prize pack. And we look forward to see what monsters she catches with this ice. Hopefully we have ice next season where I was just about to say that.
Hopefully, Brooke, when you get out there, you got ice that you can find and you can find the fish. Because I'll tell you right now, we were finding dinks. And I almost risked my life going out there for a 2-inch perch. So hopefully she takes that prize pack. Congratulations. And then we move on from it, Siege. Are we doing anything else? We got another prize pack happening. Tell me about it, brother. Tell me.
I'm starting to turn into like Santa Siege again, you know, with all these giveaways and all the stuff that we're lucky enough to have.
You're like the male version of Oprah. You get one. Let's go.
Yes.
I love it.
Next thing you know, it'll be boats maybe one day. But so the next one is Dixie Tackle prize pack. And we have. There's a Berkeley chatterbait, a perfect jig frog, X zone tube jigs, some true north baits, jackal rearranged jerk bait, and then a Shimano. Let me just pull up the model on this, buddy. It's a NASCI. I guess it would be a Nasky 2500 HG spinning reel. So this giveaway is geared more to opening season, bass, pike, anything, man. It is ready to go, and it'll be on the gram, I believe, in about a week or so. So stay tuned to that and make sure you enter. And Danny Hookset Martins, you cannot enter.
I was just going to say, if you see anything that comes in that says Hookset, delete.
Yeah.
Because you can't listen. This is for the people that listening to the show, people that are listening and following us on socials. And what about Lou? I'm going to be honest, because Lou's probably going to dip into that Shimano 100%.
Yeah, he's already tried to come to my house and steal it, but it's for a listener. So
it's for a listener. You're gonna have to join the Instagram page. You're gonna have to follow us, you're gonna find Siege is gonna be posting this beautiful prize pack again. Congratulations to Brooke for you said she's from Brooks Outdoors, Babbling Brooks Outdoors. Awesome. Check her Instagram page out because she's got some cool stuff. I saw when she won, I checked her out, and she's quite the outdoors girl.
Yeah, it looks like I believe it's maybe her husband or boyfriend and her. They seem to travel a lot. And she was even telling me when she won that even if there's not ice in our area next year, she's going to find ice. It might be far north. She's gonna do it. Brooke, keep us posted on those ice rods. Congratulations, and thanks to everyone that entered. And we'll have giveaways on very frequently on our Instagram page.
Awesome, and we got some big news coming as well. A couple new sponsors I like to just touch base on. We got the next episode that we're going to be airing. After this one is going to be with one of our new sponsors. We're not going to mention their name or anything. We're going to introduce them to our audience. And I'm excited that we're teaming up with them some really cool things happening with Eating Wild. And Siege, you know, before we wrap this show up, do we have any questions of the day, any fan questions that have come in? I know we're due for a Q&A. I know we're due for a Q&A, but we're going to wait for the boys to get back for that one because our email's blowing up.
Yeah.
I would encourage people to jump on Instagram and DM Siege right away. If you have any questions, and Siege, I'm sure you got many of them.
Yeah, and feel free to drop in our link for our email addresses on there as well, just in case people that are listening that don't have Instagram, but send in the questions. We have a really good one from our friend Brian at Sticky Hook Files.
Oh, Brian, that guy is a beauty, and this guy makes the most beautiful files I've ever seen in my life.
Well, we stand behind him. I know in the off season, obviously we're not catching muskie on the ice like Walker is, but I sharpened a lot of my hooks this season, Tone. And that file, they always say, you know, they're sharp. When you buy them from the package brand new, they're really sharp. No way, Jose. Yep. No way. I use that file, and man, it is, when he says sticky hooks, they're sticky.
Sticky. Stick to the finger. I love it.
Oh, no, buddy. But they're great. So the question he has is, I guess he fishes a lot on Georgian Bay, like a lot of our listeners do.
Yeah.
And I think he's primarily mostly a muskie guy. He listens to the show all the time. And since you're you got me into crappie fishing about three seasons ago. Yep. And he's thinking about getting into crappie on ice out for G Bay. And he wanted to know that he wants to know our setups for what we use for crappie. And you and I and the boys, we all kind of have our own setups. Yep. But I'll let you start with your setup and what you like to do.
Yeah, you know what, Siege? I'll be honest. I am a crappie whisperer. I'm glad that Lou's not here right now because we'd probably be punching each other in the face. I know you can see the belt behind me, but
I can see the belt.
Okay, we got the crappy belt, which is going to be up for grabs this May. I am a 3-time unofficial winner of the belt. And officially 1 year since the belt's been launched in 2021. Here's the thing, Siege. The way I do my setup for crappie, and I'll tell you the reason why I use this setup. And again, you guys all have your own different setups for your own particular reasons. I love to use a 6-foot ultra light. I go ultra light. Okay. It's a St. Croix. Here's the thing. I don't use a slip float. I use a straight up bobber, spring loaded. The slip float kind of action is great, but for me, I felt like if we are targeting a certain area, and if I'm looking at the depths, we are usually fishing depths that aren't changing so often. So I believe people that are fishing, you know, different depths and all around them and traveling around, I think a slip float would work better, but I love using just a regular float. I like using, 6-pound ultralight. I go direct now. I know Dan's probably like, what the hell is this guy? Fluorocarbon direct. He will always use braid no matter what species he's fishing.
Yeah, we're all different. And that's the best thing about it. We're all different.
I go straight fluorocarbon, 6 to 8 pound. Okay. I'm always using a tungsten jig. I like to get that tiny, tiny, small profile lure or plastic down into the strike zone quickly. And the reason why I'm using tungsten jigs as well is because of the weight. And I'm using, remember, when you're crappie fishing, usually you're using, you know, kind of micro stuff, 1.25, 2-inch, whatever it is. It doesn't weigh much, especially if you're using those Mayflies from True North, which are awesome, by the way.
Correct.
And those tungsten jigs really get them down and also balances the float really nice. Mm-hmm. And I go ultralight, St. Croix, 6-foot. And again, I love using rods that are, you know, super light when it comes to crappie. And the reason why, Siege, is I love to feel that fish bite. And I feel that when you are fishing crappie and they are popping and you're in that zone and we find the school, and you'll notice this too, they come up and pop your float sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
They're so aggressive at that time of year. And for me, I need to feel everything because I don't set the hook like Hook set. I'm not pulling up. drag. And you said this when you watch me crappie fish. You're like, I know what he's doing. I see what he's doing differently.
Yeah.
Is my hook sets is a small sweeping drag. It's a sweeping drag. And I know with that ultralight that when that fish is biting, I feel every single a bite from that fish. So I'm going 6 foot, ultralight setup, 6 pound fluoral. You can go 8 pound direct. My leads are about, between, I would say, 2 feet to 3 feet, depending on the depth we're fishing and the tungsten jig. And I'll tell you right now, that's my setup, Siege, and I live and I'll stand by it.
And I've seen you literally smash on that. I just got into crappie fishing because of you about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Before that, I've always, bass, pike, muskie, walleye.
Yeah.
I thought crappie fishing, if I want to get kids in it, da-da-da-da. But the thing is, there's nothing else in season. And it gives you a chance to get out on the water with your buddies and fish, get the rust off the hooks. And you get all together and it's fantastic. And not to mention how good they taste.
Right.
They're fantastic. Exactly. I have a setup similar to Tone if I am using a slip. But you know me, anyone that has listened to the podcast, I'm a reaction bait kind of guy.
Yep.
So I'm using a 6'9" medium light St. Croix Avid panfish series, paired it up with the Shimano 1000 size reel. And yep. I go with 8 pound braid and around 6 pound fluoral. And my thing is I like to cast for them.
Right.
So I'll cast around the weeds and then I'll use like one of those Johnson beetle spins, really small, that has a blade and has a little bit of a grub on there. And then you just let it bounce off the weeds, bring it in. And I'm telling you, Tone, how many times last year when we were fishing, I thought there were largies that were hitting.
Yeah. But, no, I know. You were crushing them. It was nuts. And me with those stupid the tournament rules that we made.
Yeah.
A crappie casting.
Yeah.
Without the bobber was worth 2 points. Well, geez, Siege, you changed the way I fish crappie now.
Yeah. And I love it. And in the best part with the medium light, the action is it. A lot of people will think it's too heavy, but it's not a noodle at the same time. And I can boat flip the crappie in.
Right.
They're so much fun to fish for. If you asked me this question, Brian, 5 years ago, I would have been like, what is a crappie setup? What is a panfish setup? But yeah, you got me hooked. And now it's a tradition. It's a tradition for all us foreskins to go out there. And I'm really glad he asked that question because ice is coming out and it's slab time, brother.
Oh, buddy, it's slab. I can't wait for that pop fest. And I will say this too. I know for a fact, Dan is a very similar setup to you. He does the braid and he goes with the lead. And
he used longer rods like me to stick castles out there around the 7-footers. A lot of guys that use crappie and everyone's got their own style. A lot of guys like Lou use like a 5 foot or whatever rod.
Yeah, yeah.
And he loves it and he pops on it.
And he does. He's got the belt from last year. He's got that 5 foot, that little rod. And I should say too, with my reel, I'm the same thing, thousand series.
Yeah.
And a panfish series. And I will say also, which is an important thing, it's a one piece rod for me.
Yes.
It's got to be a one piece rod no matter what it is. Those two piece rods, especially with ultralight Siege, sometimes those stupid out of season, you're fishing crappie. Next thing you know, these little largemouth bass smash your little jig and it feels like your rod's going to snap in half. It's happened to me a few times.
Right.
But with the two piece rod for me, I feel like you got no backbone. So if you are thinking of fishing, Brian, with an ultralight setup, I would definitely go one piece, make it a little bit longer, go 6 foot with the one piece. You can go 6'6", like CJ was saying.
Mine's like 7 foot. I like the longer rods. Just the longer rod.
Yep. And you will get more of a backbone. But for me, that sweeping hook set, I need to have it a bit shorter. I know what you're like with that jerk reaction baits. And, same with Dan. Dan will throw the golf ball or the baseball float out there.
Yeah.
And we look at him and we think he's crazy. But, man, Dan's got the stick going sometimes.
He's with something, man. And we always laugh at him. And then next thing you know, he pops and he's like, ha-ha, sucker.
Hey, man, we go back to the Shadzilla story, man. That guy was the first guy to bring out the Shadzilla and pop a 42-inch pike right in front of my face. And I'm like, oh, boy. We got a problem.
that's the beauty with us, our foreskins, with the group, is we all have different styles. And I think if we were all the same style fishermen, it would get really boring if the bite's off for that style. So we all adapt to each other's style. And again, Brian, that was a fantastic question. I really hope you pop them on Georgian Bay and keep us posted, brother. Like,
and there's some slabs in 3GBC. I think Lou got like a 17 inch, almost 2 pounder. And it was the biggest crappie I've ever seen in my life.
And he's popping them off in the midsummer on jerkbaits.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I really would like to fish that fishery for crappie one time as well.
Yeah. Awesome. And just to clean things up before we go, Siege, I would like to just touch on quickly Amanda's recipe of the day, which was awesome. We're doing pulled bear. Ooh. I will definitely get this recipe from her. Brought over to Dino. He could post it on the Fishing Canada website. Lou's not here to pair anything with it. But you know what? For me, if I am going to eat pulled bear sandwich and I'm treating it like a pulled pork sandwich, are you not smashing a beer with this? Thinking of you're at the bar. We talked about Nashville North.
Yeah.
She's the country girl. I bet you she's had we bumped into her for sure. So you bought her shots. Yeah.
100%. Oh, you know in the day when I was out there, shots for everyone on Siege. There goes the bank account. Whoopsie.
And the next morning you wake up, you're like, damn it. What did I just do?
Yeah.
And for me, I'm thinking I'm going with a beautiful beer. I'm going light beer. As me, I know you're going with maybe something a little bit thicker, maybe a bit heavier. I don't know. Yeah. IPA. I don't know. But I'm going Coors Light. I love it. Pairs Coors nice with a nice. Yeah, I'm going with a light beer, Bud Light, Coors Light. I like those light beers. If I'm going to eat something heavy, like a pulled pork sandwich, in this case, we're doing a pulled bear sandwich, Siege. I'm going to sit there and I'm going to have an ice cold light beer. And here, breaking news too,
Siege. What's it?
You ready for this? This ain't fake news. Okay, we talked a lot about fake news. Not fake news. Frank from the Ugly Pike, he told us at the show, this guy's dropping a light brew. I can't wait for it. I can't wait to have the Ugly Pike light brew. And I'll tell you this right now, if that's available right now, I'm smashing a pulled bear sandwich with an Ugly Pike light beer. Can't wait for it to come out, Frank.
Oh, my God.
Huge news.
I just want to eat a pulled bear sandwich.
Yeah, and you know what? It makes sense, Siege. I mean, when you are braising anything in a slow cooker, you know, and you are going out there and you're harvesting your, whether it's venison, whether it's bear, whether it's moose, whatever it is, you put that thing on a slow cooker. She's talking about soy sauce, sugar, cinnamon, 8 hours covered. Are you nuts? This thing is going to be amazing. Yes. And I can tell you right now, we are going to make this. I just got to get the courage to go and pop a bear. Cause I could be honest with you, you guys have to do the popping and
we'll do the popping. You do the cooking, pop and cook. That's our show, the Eating Wild Pop and Cook.
That's the name of our new TV series. Yeah. Pop and Cook with Smash and the boys. And listen, Siege, anything else that I missed? Anything happening on the socials? People are still reaching out to you.
We're still reaching out. Thanks for all the love. You know who you are out there, and we appreciate everything. And like I said, a year in, and we can't wait to see what's in store. I almost slipped there, Tony. I almost said some news. But stay tuned. That's another podcast.
Well, listen, folks, thank you again for sitting in and joining us for this episode of the Eating Wild podcast. I am your host, Antonio Smash Maleka, again, alongside Christopher Showtime Johnson, for Hookset Martins, for Top Dog Pereira. We're out of here, Coach. Get that guitar strung up. Fire it away. We're out of here for another great one, Siege.
Hit it, Coach.
Ciao.
Ciao. The